It is 1 o'clock, and we will get started. And hopefully, she will join us here shortly. If not, we will just go forward. So, first on the agenda, I want to welcome everybody. It is our November Independent Living Quarterly Forum. It's just now 1 o'clock. Appreciate everybody joining us. This forum will be turned into a podcast for a later broadcasting for those of our friends and constituents who can't make it today. Thank you all for coming today. My name is Kim Walford. I'm the Independent Living Program Administrator here with the Iowa Department for the Blind. We're going to go around and do introductions, and sometimes the images move, and so I do sometimes miss somebody, so call me out if I miss your name here. So please let's go ahead and start with staff, and then we'll do introductions of any guests that are here. So Kelsey, we'll start with you. Can you introduce your using your full name and what region you serve here in the state, please?
Yep, I am Kelsey Hansen. I'm an independent
Oh,
living
you're on
teacher.
mute.
Oh,
Sorry.
gosh.
Oh, you're still on mute.
No, now she's on mute.
Yeah, I could hear
I could
her.
hear her just fine a
Oh,
second
wait
ago.
a minute.
Yeah.
Can you hear
I'm
me
sorry,
now?
Kelsey.
Am I
Sorry. here?
It
Can you
was
hear
I can hear
me?
you, Kelsey.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry, my mute was being weird too. So, I'm Kelsey Hansen. I am an independent living teacher. I cover the Northeast Iowa region. So I drop down to Cedar Rapids. I go over to Dubuque, go up to Decorah, kind of, I think Cresco area, just north of the border. So just the Northeast Iowa corner.
Thank you, Kelsey. Quinn?
Good afternoon. My name is Quinn Hobble. I am an independent living rehabilitation teacher. My area kind of covers southeast Iowa. So some of the major cities I have are Iowa City, Davenport. I go down to Burlington, Clinton. So kind of that area south of Interstate 80, east of roughly 35.
Thank you, Quinn. Alyssa.
I'm Alyssa Munsterman. I'm an independent living teacher, and I cover central Iowa, like Polk County. You share it with Mark. And then I go down to the southern border and then kind of over to the southeast corner-ish. So it's kind of like an L shape. If the big part of the L is laying down, I guess. And then I took over some of Susan's area. So that's why I've kind of moved a little bit, shifted that direction. So,
And for those of you who are guests today, Susan Howard, our
oh, yes.
36-year veteran, retired October 31st. So while we're sad to see her leave, we are happy that she is able to spend time with her family. And Susan did agree to volunteer with us after she is able to, I think it's like 3 or 4 months they aren't allowed to do anything voluntarily with the state agencies. So we're looking forward to her coming back after when she's ready. Mark.
Hi everyone. I'm Mark Edge. I'm an independent living rehabilitation teacher. I have 12 counties in my service region. I'm in central Iowa and south central Iowa. The county farthest to the north is Story County. I share Polk County with Alyssa, and then I go down to the Iowa-Missouri border.
Thank you. Monica.
Hi, my name is Monica Vineski, and I'm an independent living teacher, and I service what I call the West Coast of Iowa. And it goes from near the Minnesota border at Lyon County all the way down to Fremont and Page County at the southern border near Missouri.
Thank you, Monica. Lori.
Good afternoon. I'm Lori Berglund, independent living teacher. My service area is northwest, north central. So where Monica stops on the west coast of the state, I then cover the top row of counties along the Minnesota border until you get over to Kelsey's side of the state. And then my territory kind of funnels down towards Highway 20. So I kind of cover that middle section.
Thank you, Lori. And then Julie.
Hello, I'm Julie Skinner, Julie Waters, I guess. I am the Independent Living Secretary.
Thank you. And we have a couple of, I have an unknown number. I see Mary Clark here, and there is a number. And Mary, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself first, and then we'll go to the other numbers, and Julie can maybe fill in some names on that for me. So Mary, you're a guest, and could you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Mary Clark. I am a volunteer. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can.
Okay. I work with a support group. We meet once a month at CISOs, and I just help out wherever I can as far as, you know, helping seniors adjust to their disability of blindness and get a new slant on life. So and I used to be a teacher at the Iowa Department for the Blind and have been retired for a number of years.
Thank you for joining us, Mary, and thank you for volunteering. We really appreciate your help. And then I'm seeing a number, a 712. It's very small. It's kind of hard with my, even with my glasses on. 712-263-2851. Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm John Hansen, and I used to be a member of the Independent Living Committee when it was a group.
Well, hello there, John. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, it's been a while since I talked to anybody, so it's kind of I'm kind of glad to be back with the gang. So.
Great. It's good to hear your voice. I'm sorry, I was just having a little hiccup here with my computer. It's really great to hear your voice, and I'm so glad that both you and Mary joined today. I just got a message that our director should be joining, but I see another number that just popped up of 515-266-7400.
It's Carrie Valentine.
Well, hello, Miss Carrie. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going for you guys?
Good.
Good.
So, Carrie, you want to just introduce yourself for the record? And
yeah, sure. This is Carrie Valentine, and I am a past client of Des Moines, or Iowa Department for the Blind, and just checking in.
We really appreciate you coming today and joining us. Thank you so very much. And yes, and I just, our director just joined us, and so we'll let, for the record, we'll let our director introduce herself.
Well, hello. Apologize for being a little bit tardy. I seem to try to run an errand during lunch, and downtown seems to be all under construction. So, yeah, I'm Emily Wharton. I'm the director of the Iowa Department of Blind, and thanks everybody for coming.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for taking time to come today. We appreciate it. The next item on our docket is public comment. So I'd like to give a moment here for anyone who would care to make public comment.
I guess I have one question, Kim. You were going to take the one independent living program teacher and change it to what?
So there still will be an independent living teacher, and that teacher will serve a younger blind. And we're going to offer community-based training, IL integration, and we're going to offer hybrid training opportunities as well. So we're going to have to look at that and see how it will work for our clientele. There may be some needs at a higher level that need to be met, and we will look at that on a case-by-case situation.
Well, will those services be provided in the community itself, or will those services be provided at the department?
Okay, so initially, Alyssa's going to help spearhead this until we can get a new person trained. Part of my report is going to bring you up to date on the hiring process. Kelsey's on my team, and I'll bring you up to date on the hiring process. But initially, we will be bringing some folks in for CBT training and IL integration. Once we get a person on board, we're taking CBT training out into the community, where the individual lives.
Okay. And will that be a group training then?
I'm getting some feedback. So folks who are on the phone, can you mute your phones? And Mary, would you repeat the question?
Will that training in the community, would that be group training, like you would get a whole group together and train in that sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And do you know where that will be held, or have you given that much thought at this point?
So right now, each teacher would make a decision based on, let's say, there's several folks in the Storm Lake area or in and around that area. And some of it also, Mary, will depend on where we can find a training location. So we may have several people in the Storm Lake area, but we may have to find, there may be an assisted living facility where they actually have a place where we can gather to do, the cooking curriculum or, so it kind of depends. It may be like the next town over, for example. And I know sometimes a teacher will use a church basement. So it just really depends on the partnerships that we have in and around that community. But we do try to do it within the general vicinity of where the folks live. Mm-hmm. But also this teacher will partner with other teachers. If that teacher has to, let's say, go up near Lori Berglund's area, that teacher will reach out to Lori Berglund and say, hey, I'm going to be doing a community-based training in your area. Do you have any clients who need training as well? Because this is, a good 6-hour training. And Lori may say, I do. Let's get together and do this training together. And mm-hmm. Lori would primarily be serving folks who are in our older blind program. So there would be a really good partnership in doing that, even making that group a little bit larger and doing it as a larger group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. this, am I asking this? Because when I was working, we would have what we call orientation on the road. Mm-hmm. And we would go to, a campsite, like a Christian campsite, you know, often it was a Christian campsite. And we would take several days there. We would spend several days there overnight with our clients and work on, you know, everything from cane travel to Braille to, life skills, you know, whatever. And, I don't know what the cost was to rent like the campsite for a couple of days, but it was quite valuable. And I didn't know if you were thinking anything in those terms, or just you said a 6 hour rather than like several days. You know, I'm not saying pro or con for any of that, but just that those kinds of things worked for us, you know.
Hello, just leave it on the floor.
So Mark, and at the time when Gloria was with our program, another teacher, now she's a VR counselor, traveled, you know, our program paid for them to go out to Colorado to see how their IL program was set up. And they did a lot of similar things that you're talking about, Mary. And we certainly don't want to stifle or restrict those opportunities. And I really appreciate that input, because we want to make sure people have full experiences in their training. And so those kind of things can definitely be considered, and in fact, coupled with other teachers going and doing those kind of things. So those can be conversations that our teachers can have. And it will also depend, as long as it ties back to the plan and helps the person accomplish, you know, the training objective in the end, you know, I think it would be fun for them to do that. On top of it, building more confidence is really the end goal and the skills, right?
Right. So, yes. I agree.
So I think that's great that you brought that up. And I think something like that could definitely be on the docket if that is what the clients would like to do and accomplish. So thank you for sharing that idea with us.
You're welcome.
This is Carrie.
Other public comments?
Hello?
Carrie said something. Go ahead, Carrie.
Hi, it's Carrie. I was just going to say that, you know, just as far as what Mary was saying, that as a client, I thought, were a visually impaired blind person, I think the 6 hours is good, and even maybe a little bit more, because of the fact that you're also, the confidence comes from the other people that are in the group also, because they can see that someone else can accomplish it, or you feel more comfortable, I guess, with a group like that. So you can talk it out together that my issues are and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. And I do want to kind of expand on that, Carrie. The younger blind program will have multiple opportunities to participate in multiple community-based trainings that are 6 hours long, not just one, not just two, okay, but multiple, because that's going to have to be the venue in order for the person to be able to complete, you know, their skills training. This year, and this is part of my report, I'm kind of giving it away before I give it away, this next year, 2024, Carly and I are partnering, Carly from our center, we're partnering to schedule free IL integrations. And so You know, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on around here and trying to schedule out around the multiple programs. We normally only do two, but this next year we are going to do three. So it's going to be important for us to do multiple community-based trainings and have our clients have those opportunities to participate. And, you know, whether that looks like, you know, 6 or 8 hour in multiples, or like what Mary suggested, maybe a week long and you have more people attend, you know, I'm not like putting restrictions on things like that. I just want to make sure people get good, high quality training and that clients are getting what they need to gain the confidence and gain the skills that they need to live in their home independently. You know, we want to definitely make sure that they're not being remanded to a more restrictive environment. So that's the main thing. They need to stay home and do their thing. So I did want to clarify that it'll be more than one CBD training at a, you know, at a time.
There was one other thing, and I'm always the one that's for sure says this, is technology. I had an experience the other day. I couldn't do anything without being on a cell phone or on the internet or anything like that. So I think it's very important still.
Yes.
That was all. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up as well, because that's another part of what this new position we're going to be looking at very critically. How can we what can we do to improve that part more and ensure that people have access to technology, whether it be learning how to use Zoom, learning how to use, you know, their iPads, their, you know, and we're looking at another potential. I'm not going to give that away yet, but we're actually meeting with someone tomorrow that I think might be a very nice partnership. And also, I'm just going to say we're looking at partnering more with our consumer groups and seeing what can we do. I mean, on that level, and volunteerism. I think that that's very important to connect people. So there's a lot of work ahead in our future to make sure that we're doing a better job, and that's on me, not the teachers, that this can come together for our clients. And so it's a lot of work. It will take time, but I my hope is that we can get through this pilot and make sure that we can get the pieces together, partner, and do a better partnership. And that, again, is on me, not the teachers, but facilitating it and with the teachers and make that happen so that our clients can be more engaged and have a better enhancement and just, you know, a general overall better life and more independence that way. So thank you for bringing that up too, Carrie. That's very important.
Sure.
Anything else public comment wise? This is also important. We've got Julie's taking notes for me. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so very much. And for those of you who couldn't join us today, please, if you do have comments, suggestions for me or Emily, call us, email us, and let us know. We definitely want to make life better. We want to improve our program services here. Do not hesitate to give us your opinion. We're here to listen. Okay. Next on the agenda is Director Wharton. Director Emily, would you please give us your report, please?
Well, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks. Actually, my allergies are kicking a little bit too, so I wasn't sure if my voice was going to, it seems to be cutting out on me a little bit today, so I apologize. So welcome everybody to the IL forum. I really do appreciate getting to hear this feedback and getting to hear what everybody in IL does. I mean, I get to hear quite a bit about it from Kim, but then also getting to hear from the teachers as well and more specifics really, I think, is very helpful. You know, so this is the time of year when we start, we put in our budget and we go over to the Capitol. Yesterday I met with the governor and we talk about what we're asking for the next budget year. You think we just started this year, but we're talking about next year already. And, you know, one of the things that we usually do as part of that process, and when we go over and talk to the legislature too, and when they come back into session in the wintertime, is we bring them over a bunch of materials that we have put together. And one of the things that we always like to put together and bring to them are success stories. And the one thing that I've noticed, like, so every year, you know, the time comes and I put the call out, say, hey, success stories, please. And it's always the IL folks that are on it and going to be right there with the success stories. And I never have to, you know, maybe ask twice with the IL. And that's something I just really, really appreciate about this division. Because you got a lot of teachers here who are really passionate about what they do and really excited to share those success stories. And that that helps out our agency as a whole, because those stories are really, really impactful to the legislators and to the folks in the governor's office. And so really do appreciate that. I want to kind of piggyback a little bit on, I think it was Carrie who was talking about technology and opportunities for more technology education, literacy, training, you know, for folks. One thing that I've been talking about when I've been meeting with the consumer group organizations over the course of the fall is a program that we're wanting to get started. We're having a little bit of we're playing a little bit of musical chairs around our technology teacher positions, and we're hoping to get one more position filled so we can get started on this. But we are looking to create a program where we provide training to folks to become tech mentors for other people. And so our technology folks will work through it with folks and provide training to them and curriculum and, you know, support, and so that they get, you know, a good base of information, and they can then turn around and help their friends and neighbors with the technology issues that they have. And so what we're hoping to, we are going to, when we get folks to volunteer for this, we'll, you know, provide them with the training. And then if folks complete the training and then agree to provide, you know, a certain number of hours of mentoring support to folks, then they can, we'll give them a stipend to help kind of, you know, defray the cost of their time. And so that's something that we've sketched out and kind of have waiting in the wings when we have the personnel to carry it off. Really to try and build the capacity out there and build the network of folks who are more tech savvy, and can, because we all need our phone a friend, right? I consider myself fairly tech savvy, but there's still people I call when I need to know more about a tech thing. And so, you know, helping people to build those kind of organic networks to be able to continue to educate themselves on the new technology that comes out is so, so important. And so we'll be looking at, excited to be able to do that once we're, they get our staffing full. You know, staffing, it's a tricky market now. There's a lot of wages have gone up, and they don't necessarily do that in the state the way that they do in the private sector. And so, you know, sometimes we're having a little bit of a struggle being competitive salary wise. We've had a number of folks who have wanted, could get higher salaries in the private sector, and would, you know, particularly some folks who were in teaching. We've had a lot of folks who are teachers formerly who want to come and work for us, but then our salary isn't what they were used to making. And so, it's been a little bit of a struggle there, but we're starting to gain some ground. We've been able to promote from within, and that's really exciting as well. We just had one of the folks who works with our youth program as a youth service worker has just been moving up to become a VR teacher. And so we really like to be able to provide that, you know, opportunity for folks to get in on the ground floor and then move, work their way up to new opportunities and new adventures. So that's exciting. So we did put two new VR teachers hired this week. And so we're hoping to get a couple more of those. Because we did have a VR teacher decide to go work with our young adult transition program. So there's a little bit of a musical chairs is tends to happen, which is a good thing because we want folks to be engaged and interested in what they're doing. And we don't want people to get bored, you know, we want them to, you know, stay excited about their work and take on new challenges. So, we're also really excited to announce that we have brought on board Ambrose Fowler Harney. He has worked for us previously as a vocational rehabilitation counselor, and now he is overseeing our young adult transition program and our LEAP summer program. And so he's been hitting the ground running with a lot of, getting that program fully staffed and meeting the youth, and things are really, really excited to have him on board as well. So, and as I said, we spoke with the governor yesterday in regards to our budget request. We are asking for level funding for this year because we did receive an increase of $150,000 last year. And so we're asking for level funding for the state fiscal year. It's hard to believe this, but it's 25 that we're asking for. we do have a fairly sizable capital ask this year because we need to finish up our roofs. Seems like we have so many darn roofs on this building. We got a lot of roof repair to do, a lot of tuck pointing to finish up. So we get the whole building nicely tuck pointed. We don't want any bricks falling off. And then also we want to do some updates to our front area, make it look a little more contemporary and be a good open. I mean, we've done a lot to make that a much more open and welcoming space. Thanks a lot to the folks, in the library, in the front desk, and now everybody who works on the front desk and that area. We can do more to really make, the building a nice welcoming place for, our clients and the public at large. So we're looking to, get some funding for that. Things like we need a new lift for the lift that hoists all our audiobooks and things like that. So there's a lot of components to that process, but that conversation went really well, I think, yesterday at the governor's office, and she's very supportive and very interested in the IL program in particular, and also the youth programming. So we had a really great conversation about, the wonderful work that those folks and everyone else is doing around here. So, so that's what will be coming up down the pike. So hopefully it'll be a relatively nice and quiet legislative session going forward this year. And just on a bit of a personal note, I'm sure that I've probably talked to a couple of times before here. I have been kind of in the position of slowing down a little bit. I'm currently in treatment for cancer, and so have needed to make some adjustments to my schedule and my responsibilities. I've had just a huge amount of help and support from Kim and the other leaders on the management team to take over and cover for some tasks and things like that that I've needed to maybe offload while I'm doing some treatment. And I just can't say enough how grateful I am for all the support that folks have given, but just, in looking at that. So we just because of the nature of the cancer that I have and everything like that, we've been doing a lot of work too around, succession plan and making sure that everything, is taken care of as far as the agency goes. And, that we're able to have our good continuing of governments and operations moving forward. And so, that's So I'm really happy to be here today, but I know that things like on the director's forum, Kim was kind enough to sub in for me when I did the, when I had my kidney removed recently. And then, I'm going to try and get some more rotating cast of characters to come in and talk during the director's forums that are held monthly and also to maybe highlight some more things that I maybe don't get to highlight so that we can have a little bit of a focus. Each time to give some folks some more opportunities to talk about some different things. So that is a little bit of a change that'll be coming up. I'm going to be hosting, a good number of them, but I do want to rotate in some more folks to be able to lend those voices to the effort as well. So that is my report. Does anybody have any questions?
I do, Emily. I get the emails with the salary quotes, for the people that you are wanting to hire, and I see that the salary quotes are lower than the general public. Did the governor address that at all? Did she? Is it something that because it leaves your hands tied in a sense, right?
Yeah, and then the state is aware of it. I mean, I know that this is something that many agencies have brought up recently in some meetings that I've been in. So maybe not at the governor level, but definitely with the Department of Administrative Services. And so it is something I think that's being looked at and how to make the state overall a more competitive as an employer. So I think that is something that is in the mix and being looked at. It's just a question of, well, you were in government, Mary. You know how
the yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm hoping that, we're looking at different ways too to make sure that we can find ways to, because there is a lot to love about working for the state. It's very, very meaningful to work for our agency, and we love it. And it's not just, we're not just here for the money, we love what we do. And there's a great deal of meaning behind that. And so I think that helps us out than maybe more than your standard state agency too. We do want to still stay competitive salary wise.
Right, right. And I don't take it as monetary. I just take it as getting quality people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? People.
Oh yeah, and we also pay the bills, right?
Yeah, and people that are really dedicated to what they're mm-hmm. wanting. So, no, I understand.
Yeah. Any other questions? Well, thank you all. I may pop out for a little bit, though, because they have the meal going on upstairs, and I've been smelling it all morning, and I've been smelling this roast, the Thanksgiving turkey that they're making in the center, and I got to go get myself some of that, but I will be popping back in after that.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah. We appreciate your time. Okay, so the next item on our agenda is my report for independent living. I guess it's just that time of year. Once again, I always, I don't know, sometimes I wonder if I'm telling the truth when I say this, but it is that time of year where it is reporting out to our federal funders, Rehabilitation Service Administration, and also Administration for Community Living. The RSA, Rehabilitation Service Administration, is for our Title VII, Chapter 2 Older Blind Grant. And then the other one, Administration for Community Living, is Title VII, Chapter 1, Part B, and that is for our Younger Blind Grant. It takes, for those of you who have inquiring minds, it takes about 35 hours to respond to each of the grants, and that's what they estimate. Can take a little longer for some agencies to complete that. It depends on how detailed you get to review the instructions, extrapolate all of the data, and data sources. So gathering it, putting it all together, and putting it in the report and submitting. So I am going to be hopefully starting that, since I will be receiving what I need from different sources this week. But on the ACL side, Administration for Community Living, we partner on that with our sister agency, Iowa Vocational Rehabilitation Services, and they have a new portal that we have to enter information into. It's called the Q90. It is no longer submitted the same way. And we had a little bit of back and forth over the summertime on training, since our sister agency holds the purse strings, if you will, to that funding. And we actually have to call for the funding, for the release of the funding through them. They actually will administer the training on how to use the portal. So I have training coming up on Monday on how to use the portal, as well as their independent living program administrator. So we're all getting together on Monday morning to learn how to use that portal. And then we'll be able to start inputting our data into that portal. But all of the data is due to both funding agents no later than December 30th. So that's when both of the grant submissions are due. And so that's going to be a major focus of mine from now to the end of December. And the bigger grant of the two to enter data would be the older blind. The younger blind is a little bit simpler than the older blind, but both are due at the same time. One of the things that I want to definitely give thanks to, actually all of my staff, they work very, very hard to ensure that all clients here statewide get service. And they're all very cogent. And I also should apologize that I did not mention during roll call that Marcella Edmonds is our resource specialist, and she had a previous engagement and couldn't be here to join us. And she is just an important team member here, as everyone else. But I need to give a special side thanks to Kelsey, Julie, Susan Howard, who is no longer here since she retired, and then Lori Berglund, for your hard work on our new case management system. We're getting ready to, well, at some point here soon, real soon in the future, move over to a new case management system from eForce. And so this team of professionals are helping me to go in, look around, test out this new case management system. And we have scripts that we have to go through, and then we do up mock clients, you know, fake clients, and put them in the system and try to test it, see how it works, what works, what doesn't, what errors do we find, and reporting out to our folks at Tyler System. And then they fix the errors, and then we go back in and retrial it. And so I really appreciate Kelsey, Julie, Lori, and of course Susan's help on this. It's not an easy job, but it is tasks that that's needed. And I couldn't do this without you folks. Speaking of which, with the new case management system on our heels, there is a need to update our new program manual. So I know Mark is helping with that. I think Alyssa's been helping. There might be a couple others of you that are helping with that piece as well. And then definitely once there's that migration of the new system, case management system, there are other elements within our program manual that will need updated. So again, just shouting out to my team and saying thank you so much. But more importantly, that I want to make clear is that that this is collaborative work. We do need to ensure that everything in there, that from the organizational standards that are in place, to providing guidance to staff, to anyone who wants to read that manual, even our clients, Iowa Client Assistance Program, whoever asks for that manual, we need to make sure that what's in that manual is very clear. But definitely more important is that it's clear for our staff to use. So it does need quite a bit of work, in my opinion, and we're getting there slowly but surely. So that's work in progress, and we may even, I believe we probably should even bring a client in to get some advice and have them look through it, because more than likely, since this does apply to clients, we may want to get a volunteer in and just say, hey, what do you think about this? Because really, our manuals are for anyone to read. So we'll take a look at it first and see how it goes, where it goes, because a lot of it is procedures and policies related to our staff. But as they're administering it, to ensure that our clients get good service, and then we'll go from there. So that's an in-progress project that we are working on. In terms of the vacancy that we have when our teacher Susan left on the 31st of October, Kelsey and Carly have been actively working with me to fill that vacancy. We had several people who applied. We did our diligence to actively interview. We called some folks back for a second interview and did a practicum with them. And Kelsey helped me with that. And Carly provided some input as well. We did make an offer. Due to personal reasons, that individual had to decline the offer. And so we are back. Once again, we reposted because the other folks we looked at, we just, with everybody on my team and their input, we just didn't feel that we had a good match for anyone else to make an offer to. So we're back to square one. We're that position closed on November 13th. We are now going through all of the applicants. We will be making a decision on who we want to interview here real soon and getting those names out there to start scheduling again. And we will go through the process again. It could be sometime in December before, if we have somebody that we want to make an offer to, it may be as late December before we make that offer. So I just wanted to put that out there. We have been for several months taking section by section of the 99 counties, working on this very large project to market our independent living program in follow-up to the Time to Be Bold, and that was the Time to Be Bold, if you can't see something, say something. So we have been getting some feedback and some referrals for speaking engagement on the Time to Be Bold. So we did feel like it would be good to do this marketing based on getting some referrals for speaking engagements. And we are now done with actually targeting eye doctors, social workers, AAAs. We've gone through a litany of assisted livings, independent livings. And so we're done with that piece. We're getting ready to mail out the last batch. I think, Julie, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's around 800 mail-outs. Does that sound about right?
It's a little over 1,100.
Oh, I stand corrected. 1,100 that will go out. And then that project will be finished. Oh, and I should say underserved areas would include the tribal centers that were also, there's two areas of tribal centers that we're targeting as well. So we are hopeful to have that project finished. But again, I believe that we are getting some referrals from this project. I would like to see more than what we're getting, you know, more referrals, but it does take time. And then the teachers are also following up and doing a great job of doing the speaking engagements. And we're also doing more outreach, setting up tables. I know Mark and Alyssa just had one recently where, and I don't want to give your glory away, but I think there was well over 300 or more? Yes, or well over 300 people that attended for the outreach. So we just keep plugging along because I still hear people saying, you're the best kept secret. And just outside of advertising on TV, which I wish we had the budget to do, but unfortunately we don't, you know, we do have a limited way that we can market. Doing the mass marketing by TV, we just don't have that budget to do that, unfortunately. I wish we could. So that project is outside of mailing that last group out by batch. We are finished with that piece. Quarterly IL forum, I do have that readied to announce unless something is moved because of our quarterly staff meeting. I'm looking at 2024, having our IL quarterly forum scheduled for 1 p.m. on February 21st, 2024, May 15th, August 14, and November 13. So again, these are all on Wednesdays, 21st of February, 15th of May, 14th of August, and the 13th of November, 2024 at 1 o'clock. The only reason that would change would be is if possibly if we move our quarterly staff meeting to another week. I like to try to have it during quarterly staff meeting week. Now, I kind of alluded earlier through one of the public comments that we normally have a couple of times a year the IL integration, but this next year in 2024, we are shooting to have three. We're targeting three trainings, and we're partnering with the Iowa Blindness Empowerment and Independence Center, and that's going to be where we offer the week-long in-depth training sessions for our clients, and they would be coming in here to the department for that training. We usually start them on a Sunday afternoon. I also want to mention that we do partner with the two local consumer groups, the Iowa Council of the United Blind and National Federation of the Blind of Iowa. And those two groups help to facilitate information about the benefits of their respective groups. I cannot say how much I appreciate that. That is a huge benefit to the clients here. We get a lot of positive feedback on that Friday that we meet with them. It definitely benefits our clients to be able to see that they're not alone, that they are not the only blind Iowan in their community, and that they can connect with other blind Iowans. And so that is definitely a meaningful experience for them to be able to connect with these consumer groups. I am working toward... I've been invited to meet with Lori Trujillo to talk more and talk a little bit more about an ambassador program for mentorship We do provide equal time to both consumer groups that, you know, if the National Federation of the Blind of Iowa is interested in doing something similar, we would also work in partnership. But I am looking forward to having that engagement and conversation with Lori to see, you know, what does this look like and what can we do to do more partnering and bringing folks together and having that mentorship. I think that a lot of programs do this kind of stuff all over the U.S. for independent living. So I'm excited about this opportunity, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation with Lori and hope to do that possibly on December 1st. And we will also, I've invited other program managers if they're available, but if they're not, because everybody's schedules are different, I definitely plan to schedule. So currently, I don't have any specific weeks set that training will occur, but for 2024, right now the tentative months set would be March, June, and September of 2024 that we would hold these week-long IL integration trainings here in Des Moines. And Carly will get back with me the last week of November with, you know, like it'll be this week that we can do it. So Emily did share that we have lots of success stories. I will be putting success stories in the commission report. So I would direct you to a commission report if you have an interest in reading those success stories. I appreciate my staff sharing those success stories and thank them for being proactive. I like to make sure that our director gets those success stories so that she can share them with the governor's office. So thank you so much to independent living staff and teachers for everything you do. It really demonstrates your commitment to serving our clients. So thank you. Does anyone have any questions for me?
You're a very busy lady.
I really love what I do, Mary, and I wouldn't trade it for $1 million. So thank you for letting me serve blind Iowans. And thank you, Mary, again, for volunteering. And thank you for Carrie for volunteering. And I know, John, you volunteered in the past, too. So thank you for your volunteerism. I appreciate it. And welcome, Marcella. All right.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Great to see you. Thank you for joining. Mm-hmm. All right. So moving forward, can we get some brief report outs from our wonderful staff here? Lori, would you mind going first?
Happy to. Thank you. So as Kim mentioned, we had an IL integration in September. Two clients from the area I serve attended. I've recently spoken with both of them, and they both said that they were really happy to have had the opportunity to meet other blind Iowans. They've already noticed their non-visual skills have improved, and they recommended the experience to other clients as well. I have about six clients who have already expressed an interest in attending one of next year's IL Integration Weeks. It's been a busy fall. In September, I hosted a community-based training in Spencer. In October, Kelsey and I hosted a CBT in Clear Lake, and Monica and I are working to try to get one scheduled up in the Northwest area sometime in December or January. I've had a number of speaking engagements this fall. I met with a group of the Stevens Ministries. I visited a local PEO chapter last night and am in contact with some community college nursing programs and assisted living administrators. the Cerro Gordo County SALT Seniors and Law Enforcement hosted a forum in October where I had a table and displayed devices and provided information. I interacted with about 150 participants and then exchanged information with several of the vendors for future referrals and potential speaking engagements. They host that biannually, so I'm looking forward to going back in May. I recently attended the Spencer Area Support Group. They have gotten back to meeting face-to-face after COVID, but still are trying to increase the participation there. So that's my report, and I'm happy to address any questions.
Does anyone have Thank any you. Questions for Lori? Okay. Mark.
Hello again. As Lori and Kim mentioned, the week of September 10th through the 15th, we had our IL Integration Week where we had five participants, and almost all the IL staff was involved in that week and had a role. My job for the week was to assist Darren Lee down in the shop. He's the center shop instructor with shop class. And so the participants got to choose among three different projects to make. The choices were to build a picture frame, a birdhouse, or an acoustic speaker for their smartphone. And no one chose the picture frame, but we had two that made acoustic speakers and three who made birdhouses. So it was really a great week. And that group of people just clicked so well with each other and had a really good time and learned so much during the week. So we got very positive feedback on that. I had one speaking engagement on September 27th. I went to the Meadows in Nevada, Iowa, which is a senior housing community. And I had three people in the audience who identified themselves to me as having macular degeneration. And so they were really happy to get the information about all of our services. And one of them is a senior who still works. So afterward, I spoke with her about our VR services, if that would be something that would be helpful to her. On October 4th, Susan Howard, Quinn, and myself did a community-based training here at the department. And we originally had seven participants sign up. Unfortunately, two of them had to bow out last minute, but we had five participants, two of whom were mine from Waukee, and they were new to my caseload. And a large part of the focus of that training was on cooking techniques, non-visual cooking techniques. And so we spent the morning preparing the lunch that was served that day. We had a beef goulash casserole and a lettuce vegetable salad and an individual apple crisp that was made in the microwave. So everyone got an opportunity to do some under the blindfold using knives and cutting and chopping and measuring and pouring, using the stovetop, learning how to tell doneness of the ground beef, cooking pasta on the stovetop, using the oven to bake the casserole, using the microwave to cook the apple crisp. So they all really learned a lot that day and had very positive feedback. But something all of them indicated was that just being able to meet other peers who share blindness was one of the most meaningful things of the day to them. So it was really a great experience. I continue to get my new clients involved in the local blindness support groups whenever I can. So in my territory, I have the Blindness Empowerment Support Team of Greater Des Moines. And in Story County, I have the Ames Low Vision Support Group. And both of those groups are doing well and gaining new members all the time. Yesterday, I attended a Lifelong Links board meeting. This is an advisory board comprised of local service providers, and it's kind of spearheaded by the Local Area Agency on Aging. And a couple things I learned yesterday is that November is National Family Caregivers Month. And also tomorrow is National Information and Referral Services Day. And that's something that all the staff here at the Iowa Department for the Blind are very involved with, is providing information referral to our clients, as they often have other needs other than blindness. And so we provide as much information as we are able to. But we had a presentation yesterday on emergency preparedness and encouraging us all to speak to the people that we work with about having an emergency plan. And that includes us as well. And something that I hadn't really given a lot of thought to, but as it was pointed out to us, that an emergency could happen to any one of us living here in Iowa. While we don't have hurricanes, we can have tornadoes, we've had derechos, we can have ice storms or snowstorms, or even if we don't live by a body of water, we could all experience flooding when we have these crazy downpours of rain of, 5 inches or more in a very short time. And so they're encouraging us to be prepared and maybe, have a backpack ready that has things such as a list of the medications that you take, or, a list of people's names and phone numbers and addresses. Nowadays, most of us keep all that information stored into our phone, but what if you've lost power and your phone battery dies and you have no way of charging it? You don't have access to any of that information. Thinking about things like, if you had to evacuate your home, where would you go? Where could you stay? How would you get there? If you're used to using the public bus system and transit was offline for a few days, how would you get someplace? So just kind of thinking ahead at what would I do if this situation occurred? And the person giving the presentation used to work in Cedar Rapids and was working there during the derecho, and they were without power for 10 days. So, who would think you could go for 10 days without power? But things do happen. And so they're just encouraging everyone to think about what you would do in an emergency and how prepared are you? Do you have, for example, batteries on hand or matches, candles, safe water to drink, or some non-perishable food at your disposal? So just throwing that out there for people to think about. And otherwise, I think that's about it for my area. Does anyone have any questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Quinn.
Good afternoon, everybody. As Kim was saying, it's really good to be here. I absolutely enjoy working with all of my clients. As Mark was talking about in September, I was also working the integration week. I had the pleasure of teaching cane travel, which is something I'm very passionate about. I actually have my National Orientation and Mobility Certification. So I got to kind of lead travel class and gave all the clients, help them build confidence that they can walk and navigate regardless of their vision level. And a lot of that was done through the use of the blindfolds. So I spent the first couple of days with all the clients, just getting them comfortable using the cane, being able to make sure that, they were confident that they wouldn't hit the wall with the side of their body, by encouraging them to have proper technique. So I really absolutely enjoyed that. Also, as Mark mentioned, the community-based training at the beginning of October, I had two former clients, in that they were from the Cedar Rapids area, which I don't serve anymore after Susan retired. And I got to talk with both of them, and they both felt that what they really enjoyed was getting to meet other blind people. One of the clients that came was very nervous. They were very nervous after they lost their vision about whether they could cook or not. So you know, having the community-based training that focused on cooking techniques, they indicated that it really kind of opened their eyes to different possibilities. You know, they had said that a lot of the things that we went over, you know, they're like, I can't believe I didn't think of that. And I told them, I'm like, don't be hard on yourself. It's okay. You wouldn't have to think about it. That's what I'm here for, is to help you, you know, come up with those strategies. One thing that I enjoy seeing with all my clients is once they start to get kind of the basic skills, I see that I'll go to their apartment or their house, and they'll say to me, hey, guess what I came up with? And they'll show me an alternative technique, and I'll be like, is that working for you? They'll be like, yes. I'm like, excellent. You just taught yourself. And I love seeing that, you know, when my clients unlock that creativity, and that happens when they're not afraid of blindness anymore. As I mentioned, I switched when Susan retired. I kind of did some of the bigger switching happened in my territory. Prior to Susan retiring, the majority of my clients were in Linn County, Cedar Rapids, whereas now the majority are Davenport, Clinton, and Burlington. So I've spent the past couple months, because Susan worked very closely with me to, you know, make sure that I had a good introduction to her clients. I even went out with her a couple times to meet some of them. So that's what I've been spending the last 2 months doing, is just getting to know Susan's clients, getting to, form that relationship with them, start working with them right where Susan left off. I've also been working on getting a couple speaking engagements set up. I have one set up for an assisted living facility over in Davenport for the beginning of January. And I have an alternative plan in case the weather decides not to cooperate, which we all know here in Iowa that can happen fairly quickly. I'm also working with a facility called the Sarah Harding Home over in Clinton, Iowa, getting a speaking engagement set up with them. I'm really excited about reaching out to ophthalmologists and senior centers in particular, and getting to kind of spread the word about what we do. Like Kim had said, I don't want us to be the best kept secret. There's nothing secret about what we do. I want everyone to know. Does anyone have any questions for me? Well, Kim, I appreciate everything you do to support me.
Thank you, Quinn. You know, again, I have to say, it's my job to be here to make sure that everybody has the tools to do what you need to support our clients, and I appreciate every single one of you. Next on the docket, thank you, Quinn, for that wonderful report. Next on the docket is Kelsey.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Hansen. So it's been a pretty busy last couple of months for me. In September, I did not end up doing the integration. I ended up getting pretty sick, but I had a client attend and he absolutely loved it and wants to be a mentor sometime next year. So that's pretty exciting. And then I've started a support group in the area that I'm still working with them, and that client goes to one of them and just took basically one of the support group meetings and spoke all about integration and how much he loved it and how valuable he thinks it is. So still working on getting that off the ground and going. I did a speaking engagement in September at Allen Nursing College. I do that every semester to kind of educate the new generation of nurses on blindness and the department and the services that we have available, so they can you know, speak with their patients and stuff. And then also another speaking engagement in September. Our CIO, Connie Mendenhall, had requested that I go speak to a class up at UNI. It was a diversity class, so I went and I did that. That was, they're all very curious, very open-minded. It was really fun. And then in October, I did the CBT with Lori, which went really well. The two clients I had there are now Lori's clients because we did some territory rearranging. So that was kind of a great introduction for them to get to know Lori. And they were both really tired at the end of the day, but they really liked it. And then, as Kim said, I'm doing the some testing with the new case management system, and, you know, helping with the interview process. So that's taken up a lot of time. I'm also seeing an uptake in or an increase in new applicants, which is really great because I have not had a lot of people apply, not a lot of applicants since the summer. So I've gotten like four to six in November and October so far. So that's pretty exciting. And I think that is about it for what I've been up to in this area. Does anybody have any questions?
Kelsey, I'd like to add one thing. I didn't include it in this report because I had done my report prior to the requirement coming out, but I should have included it in my report. Kelsey was also busy taking the first aid mental health training.
Oh, yes, I did that.
Yes, she did. And the other IL staff, there will be other IL staff members taking that as well. They're just of recent staff are being required, which we had taken it prior. We just did not get certified. There will be mandatory abuse training, which I think most of us have taken and have been certified. Some may be in progress. We have to have it done by the 17th of November. But it's for both youth, for children, and for adults. So for most of us, I think we're done. But some might be just finishing that up. So I just want to, for the record, say that that's done. So for the most part, or will be done by November 17th. So you've been busy. All of you have been busy doing that as well. Thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you.
Alyssa.
Hello. So going back, like everybody's talked about, the senior integration in the fall, I was in charge of helping Braille class during the week. That was actually extremely fun. And like most of you know, our clients always say, I'm 92 years old. I can't do this. You know, I will never learn this. And obviously, all of these people that came, lots of them maybe not even had Braille on their as an objective, but they loved it so much. I mean, they all ended up taking the Codemaster Lite with them and the cartridge. And I mean, Darren and his great little Braille cells, wood blocks and everything. So it went extremely well. And lots of them found it extremely fun too. So I'm so glad they enjoyed it so much. Of course, Mark mentioned the thing we did on a Saturday. It was a senior health fair at DMU, Des Moines University Clinic, and that went really well. It was very interesting. I think Mark said he learned about it from iCub, that they had a booth last year. So I'm like, that's really nice. So, and one of the doctors, I'm guessing he runs the program, I'm not sure, came and talked to us too afterwards, and he's hoping that, you know, that we'll come again. So, It was pretty good. It just, you know, of course, as people know, you know, we're called Iowa Department for the Blind. So people, you know, they start at one end and they would see our banner and they might just look at it and go, blind, I'm not blind. And they just walk away. But Mark had always a good intro to be like, do you know anybody with any vision loss or, you yourself, and then usually they'd start in a conversation, and then we'd talk to more people that way. Because, you know, when they see the word blind, lots of people, you know, the connotation, people just think, or they don't want to admit they're losing their eyesight too. So it actually went quite well. Also, since I've been back from maternity leave, I just realized I've been back about almost 5 months now from maternity leave. So I've had two speaking engagements, both, funny enough, with the Retired Teachers Association, one for Decatur County and Clark County. Those are actually really fascinating, and they actually ask really good questions. And some of those people have, you know, they're losing their vision, or they know somebody there that has. So I expect, especially the one I just did more recently, to be possibly get some referrals from that, or they're at least going to pass on the information to their friends that they know that have the issue, and hopefully they'll reach out. Let's see. And then I have another speaking engagement coming up. It had to be rescheduled from way before, just for different scheduling reasons on their part. I've had a handful of successfully closed clients, which is really good. It's a good feeling to feel like they feel they don't need me anymore. I mean, that's the whole point, even though I want them to need me, but yet I don't want them to feel like they have to rely on me to do everything. And then I have a client that actually was originally one of Lori's, but he moved down here, and now we're referring him to VR, which is very exciting, and he's excited to move on and get a job and, you know, live his life the best he can. So I think he's got the great attitude, and he really wants to do better in life. So I wish the best for him. Even though I'll miss him, because he's a funny guy, like Lori knows. Let's see. I'm starting to get some new referrals in the territory that formerly was Susan's. So I'm starting to get those, and I've met Susan's clients and work with them some. So that's been going well. I feel like I have big shoes to fill, because also it's Susan. She knows so much. Like I told her, I wish I could just put my hand on her shoulder and learn everything through osmosis, because she knows everything. She's been doing it since she got out, straight out of college. Like Kim said earlier, I'm kind of pinch hitting the new position, kind of hosting and doing the initial applications and things like that, and then having CBTs here in Des Moines to bring them in to do little group trainings. And like Kim also said, hybrid opportunities probably too. We're still talking about it and trying to just come up with different ways that might benefit our clients the best we can. Trying to think. Oh, another kind of an interesting side note. I saw my eye doctor earlier this week, just as my yearly exam. And I was talking to him, and he was saying he's originally from the area when he was a kid. And he said he toured the center here when he was in fifth grade, their whole fifth grade class did. And so he's like, he seemed like he actually was pretty knowledgeable about our department. And I told him more about like what I was doing and what we do as a whole. And, I was going to bring him some of our brochures and stuff, because he's like, yeah, just bring them by. So, I mean, you know, it's just good to talk to your good old eye doctor too. So, so that's about me in a nutshell for right now. Any questions?
I don't have a question, but I do just have a statement to make. The person that is being referred to VR, I know how diligent Lori and you have been, Alyssa, in working with this individual. And even from following from the beginning, where that person came from, the community didn't even care about this person, this blind individual. And had it not have been for Lori, and I'm not over exaggerating at all, and you, Alyssa, the family didn't care, the community didn't care, but Iowa Department for the Blind and the staff cared. And now he has an opportunity to make change in his life. It was all because of two people that cared enough And now we have a VR counselor, I believe, who cares. And I'm so glad that we have the team that we have who cares about another blind citizen who can make change in their life and make a life for themselves. Now, we know this person isn't in that other community now, right? And can build a new life and has the supports necessary to live independently. So thank you for what you did. I know it wasn't easy work. I know it took a lot of time and investment, but I believe this human being was well worth the investment. So thank you very much for your hard work.
Thank you, Kim, and thank you for all your support as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Kim. And Lori, props to you for the initial person that really got that person to where he is now. And then I just kind of inherited him from Lori when he moved down here. So I got all the good work from Lori. And then I just started to build off of that, trying to get him to where he is going to be now. So
I'm glad he's now going to be in VR where he wants to be, which is great.
Yep.
That's awesome. Okay. Any questions from the public members or anyone else?
I just want to say one thing, and that is a big, big thank you to all of you, because I know you work very hard. And as a senior myself, I appreciate everything that you do for those of us out in the community. You are an awesome group.
Thank you, Mary. And it's our privilege to be of service. So we thank you for your comments and just being here to support us. So thank you. Okay, Monica.
I thought I was probably next.
Yes.
As the pandemic was winding down, applications were coming in pretty slow. And then I noticed they got a little sporadic, but I've noticed in the last few months, they've been coming in pretty steady. Closures have been pretty steady too. I've done several speaking engagements. One was at the Whispering Creek Senior Living. Another was in Ida Groves Senior Living, and I got 5 referrals out of that particular speaking. Last week, I was supposed to have one with Siouxland District Health, but they decided to reschedule it for January, so that'll be coming up. I was also invited to speak at a teacher's sorority of ADK. And it is made up of current and retired teachers. And I thought that was a great way maybe to outreach not only to the retired teachers to possibly find blind Iowans that would need some help, but our new initiative or our new way of working with school-age children too. And finding those folks. Their sorority is an altruistic sorority, so they made a donation to the IL program as well. And I also worked the IL integration in September. I had one of my clients that was one of the participants who also, just like the others, said it was a really great experience. And he said the only criticism he had is that it wasn't long enough. He wanted to stay and learn some more. He's also possibly interested in being a mentor sometime next year. I have a lady that's already showing interest in attending next year's one of those integrations. I feel like I'm forgetting something. but I've completed the mandatory reporter training that Kim was talking about, and I have the mental health first aid class coming up next month. And Lori already talked about the CBT that she and I are trying to put together for December or January. And I think that's all I have.
Anyone have any questions for Monica? Okay. Julie, do you have anything you want to share out?
Just a couple things. Just wanted to mention, that Kim mentioned that we've been working on the new case management system, testing it. And I've been working on that with Kim and Kelsey and Lori and Susan when, before she retired. Also the marketing project, getting letters out to eye care professionals and state agencies and senior living places. And also been working on, I'm on the communications committee, and we've been working on the communication charter project that we kind of did as a group, and just trying to figure out how to extend that out to the agency and communicating with one another. I think that's it.
Any questions for Julie? Thank you, Julie. Mm-hmm. And Marcella?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Before Susan retired, she helped with the marketing campaign project. And so we got all that completed, where we did research to find different agencies and stuff, so to send a letter and a brochure to. And so that's what Julie was talking about, getting those letters out to those places. And then also on my open referral, I have 18 open referral people, and 7 of those people, they either have sent in their eye report, or I need to make an initial phone call to them. And then within the last few hours, I got 4 referrals that I need to enter into eForce. And then phone calls for October, there was 40 phone calls for October that I reported. And I think that might be it. Oh, let me just mention this. Monica had mentioned she had 5 referrals from Ida Grove when she did her speaking engagement. And I think the majority of those ladies was in their 90s. And so we had a email conversation about how we could do something maybe different than me calling them to initially talk to them, because I found out that when I called them and I initially talked to them, you know, they remember Monica coming, they're excited about it and everything. But by the time I get done with my spill, they've changed their mind. So that's just something that Monica and I is going to discuss into more detail, and we probably can take any input on that also. So, but this is my first experience with that part.
And one of those ladies was 103 one of the referrals.
Yeah. So that was just something that just happened here recently. But so we want to be able to, they're excited about it. We want to keep them excited about it. And I don't think my spiel was so long that it made them change their mind. I hope not, but, we'll see. We'll see. That's all my report. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Marcella. So that concludes all of the reporting from our aisle staff. I want to next open it for any questions from our guests or from anyone else on our panel here. First guest, any questions about anything for us today? Comments? Welcomed.
This is Carrie.
Yes, Carrie.
I think that you guys are really good at what you're doing, and you seem very passionate. I was curious about, like I said, technology, of course, but are there certain products out there as far as phone apps for the blind that you encourage, or can you guys actually encourage that kind of stuff, or you're kind of limited as far as regulations or whatever? Because there's several of them out there that, Envision AI is one that is really good, and it no charge. Be My Eyes is another one that is at no charge, and it also is going to be with more AI things also. And I don't, like I said, I don't know if you guys have a cutoff point where you can, you know, okay stuff like that or approve it so that those people are aware of that. Also back with Quinn, I had mentioned about saying something to somebody and then they took it on their own to do something different, you know, with that idea. And I think that's important. I learned a lot from that, just from maybe I didn't use the tips exactly that the way they taught me, but I also invented my own along the way. And so I think that is important too. And that's it. You guys do a great job.
Thank you, Carrie. Yeah. So, Gwen, were you wanting to say something?
Yeah, I was wondering if I could talk a little bit about what she said with technology.
Yeah, if I could just quick make a comment, and then I'll throw it over to you. So originally, when we worked on our aisle policies, and Carrie, I know that you understand this, and I'm sure John was on our aisle, ILAC, so he understands it. And I know Mary does. She's worked here for many years prior. You know, because of constraints, we all understand that aisle works under. We looked at what parameters could we work within in terms of technology. And so in working with staff and working, you know, together with our, you know, our other programs, education and technology team, we did come up with two apps that we added to our policy manual that teachers can, and some other things along the line of, okay, well, what can we teach our clients? Now, does that mean there can't be, you know, other things that when our agency comes up with a, you know, a tech show, you know, the teachers will let our clients know, hey, there's a tech show going on. It's going to be held in Des Moines. Maybe you'll be interested in coming in so that the client can expand their knowledge and ask questions. And doesn't mean that there can't be, the client can ask questions and go out and search, you know, for different you know, other type of technologies and engage that way. Certainly they can. But there are parameters, Carrie, that we are working within, but there's also things that I'm looking at, like, can our clients certainly work with volunteers, like through iCub, because iCub has these wonderful, and maybe NFBI does too, but iCub clearly advertises, I think, quite well. I see it come up all the time. Hey, we're having this get together to learn how to use the iPhone or this different app. And, you know, people can join. That's free. And I think that's wonderful. And if NFBI does the same thing, I think that's wonderful. I think our clients or the general public who, you know, if you're blind, why not take advantage of those things? So, Quinn, I'm going to turn it over to you if you have anything else to add or something different, please.
Yeah, absolutely, Kim. Hold on, I want to make sure I'm unmuted. Okay, good. I am unmuted. Absolutely, Kim, everything that you had said, what I was going to say. So I'm pretty tech savvy. I don't know everything, but I do know a good chunk. So some of the things that I've been working on with a lot of clients is that they want to be able to access their calendar. You know, they've been so used to writing on a physical calendar their entire life. And they're like, well, now my daughter has to tell me when I have all my appointments. I can't just look at the calendar anymore. So that's something I've worked with clients who have Android, who have iPhone, or who have a smart speaker like an Alexa. Obviously, you know, we can't purchase those. However, I have made a couple referrals for clients to submit an application to Gifts and Bequests. you know, to get assistance in purchasing a device that is going to help them, you know, achieve their daily living goals. Another thing that I've worked with, one of the big things that I get, you know, with clients, and this falls under, you know, leisure activities, is they say, well, you know, I have all these pictures of my grandkids and I can't enjoy them. So the person on the phone, I apologize, I'm so bad with names, but you mentioned Be My Eyes coming up with new artificial intelligence. And I have shown a lot of clients how they can take a picture of a physical picture of their grandchildren, or if someone sends them a message, and it can be described in extreme detail. And for a lot of them, they've like, wow, I can enjoy family photos again. So those are just some of the tech things, you know, that we all do with our clients, just depending on, you know, what each client's individual need is and what's going to help give them the most freedom and the most enjoyment.
Harry, did that help?
That did. I had one other, hopefully this will be quick, but I did want to mention about the person that was now going to VR, where they, you know, the family wasn't supportive and all that kind of stuff. It almost made me cry, because I feel like I am so blessed to have you guys there to help me through my process. And there's a lot of people out there that aren't that lucky as I am. So appreciate it.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
Just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. I did forget to say that in the beginning. Thank you, Mary.
Eat lots of turkey.
Yes. So our next meeting will be Wednesday, February 21st of next year. It's so hard to believe it's just around the corner, 2024. And having said that, thank you once again for everybody for joining. Please get the word out. We do post it, but we'd like to see you next year. And if you can get more people to join, the more the merrier. So this concludes our meeting, our IL forum, and we are adjourned. So thank you so much. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.